In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Let the children come to me. How are you today?
Good.
Good? Very good. We're in church. We are supposed to be excellent. Not only good, but excellent. Because we are in heaven. Now, do you remember about whom we talked last Sunday?
The icons over there.
About the icons. More specifically, about whom in the icons? Because we also have Mary in this icon. Did we talk about Mary last Sunday?
Yeah. No.
We talked about
Jesus.
About our Lord Jesus Christ. And do you remember, one more time, do you remember what Jesus means, what the name Jesus means? God saves. Jesus means God saves. Do you remember what the nickname Christ means?
Christos.
Christos, it comes from Christos, and Christos comes from the Hebrew name. You remember the Hebrew name?
Mashiach.
And Mashiach means? The anointed one. Because he was anointed by God to be the savior of the whole universe. And last Sunday we also talked about those letters in the icon. What letters do we see in the icon? What letters do we see? At the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I see.
And on the left?
XC.
XC. Do you remember what they stand for? It's related to Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christos.
Jesus Christos. Can you tell me? Because we don't have all the letters. What do we have in there?
First letters and the last letters.
The first and the last letters of the names Jesus and Christos in Greek. Why in Greek?
Because we're the Greek Orthodox Church.
Is that why?
Yeah.
But why?
Because in the old times that was the second
language of many people in those times, and that was like a language that many people spoke. And that's why the New Testament, do you know what I have here in my hand? Not the whole Bible, but only the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek. And in the New Testament, we have the four Gospels, we have the Acts of the Apostles, we have the letters of the Apostles, and the New Testament was written in Greek because Greek was like English nowadays. Lots of people were speaking Greek in those times. And that's why, because the Gospels were written in Greek, because the New Testament, the entire New Testament was written in Greek, that's why we still have the letters in the icons in Greek. What are you going to say, Sophia?
What language was the Old Testament written? What was the
The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and then it was translated into Greek, Greek, you know? We do what we do and we get back to Greek. But this is the reality. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but then about 300 years before our Lord Jesus Christ, before the coming of the Lord, the Old Testament was translated into Greek. And again, when Matthew wrote his Gospel in Greek, he was quoting not from the Hebrew Old Testament, but from the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Okay? Because again, that's what many people knew. They knew Greek. Now, in this icon, can you find IC, XC in this icon?
No.
Nope.
Take a closer look. Can you find? Yeah? Eva. Eva. Please come closer and show me where ICXC is in this icon. Can you see it? It's smaller, but it's there. Come here and show me.
I see it.
So where is it? Where do you see it? ICXC. above Jesus' head. So it's here, above Jesus' head. And in Jesus' halo, do you know what a halo is? That light around the head of Lord Jesus Christ or one of the saints that shows us that that person was full of the grace of God, that the grace of God, the light of God was radiating from that person. That's why we have like this circle around the head of our Lord Jesus Christ, around the head of Mary. If we see a circle around somebody's head in an icon, that means that that person is a holy person. You'll never see Judas with a halo. Okay? So, in the halo of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that circle, we see what? Some other letters. Can you tell me the letters? Starting with this one. So from left to right. Somebody else. Anna Maria, what are the letters? O? What was this above his head? W? N. Almost right. Almost right. You're very right. It really looks like a W. But again, in Greek, that W, in fact, is omega. And the entire word is read horn. Do you know what it means? Somebody who speaks Greek. What's the meaning of horn?
What?
Ho-on. O omega N.
On?
O omega N. Horn. The one who is. The one who is. When God revealed himself for the first time to Moses in the Old Testament, in the burning bush, we'll get there.
Yes.
Okay, do you agree? You agree? Horn means the one who is. We can't really translate it in English. But it basically means the one who is, the one who exists. Because when God when God appeared to Moses for the first time in the Old Testament, Moses asked him, "What is your name?" Because the name is important. Don't you do the same thing when you meet somebody? What's your name? How should I call you? So when God spoke to Moses from that burning bush that was burning without being consumed, Moses asked God, "And what is your name?" And God said, "Yahweh," which is translated into Greek, "Ho-on," which means, "I am who I am. I am. I exist." And we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is God. That's why in his halo, we have this letter, Ho-on, because he is God. And this is the difference between God and anything else that there is. But about this difference between God and anything else that seems to us to be, we'll talk next Sunday. Agreed? Okay, so please think about this until next Sunday, about who God is and why God is different than everything else. Okay? Thank you very much. God bless you. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Beloved faithful, 2 Sundays ago, we spoke about the vision of the Orthodox Church. And I told you at that time that the vision of the Orthodox Church as a whole is to transpose the kingdom of heaven within us, within our churches, and then to take it to the outside of the church and to transform the whole universe into the kingdom of God. Last Sunday, we spoke about spiritual renewal. And I was telling you that on September 1st, we celebrate the beginning of the church year, and I was asking you, and I was telling you that we'll get ready for a spiritual renewal now at the beginning of the liturgical new year. And today we'll make some steps in order to implement this vision of the church within our church And we'll make some steps, we'll make a first step towards this spiritual renewal. Because everything starts here. Everything starts here in the church, and then we take the church, we take the kingdom of heaven into our homes. Now, you know how they say, if you want to change the world, start with yourself. If we want to change the world, we have to start with ourselves, with our own community. And I think we should start with our holy liturgy. I think we should renew the spirit of our holy liturgy. The spirit in which we celebrate the holy liturgy in our own community. Now, when we celebrate the holy liturgy, again, the whole idea is to transpose the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's why we say, blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why we start with these words, in order to transpose the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit within our church. When we worship God, again, it is not about ourselves, but it is about worshiping God as He revealed to us that He is worshiped in heaven. So many times our holy liturgy is so misunderstood. So many times we are accused that we are having an odd and strange holy liturgy. I'm here to tell you today that it is supposed to be different. It is supposed to be odd and strange. It is supposed to be otherworldly because we are not worshiping God as we want. We are not worshiping God as we like. We are not here to please ourselves, but we are here to worship God as He revealed to us that He is worshipped in heaven. God became human to make us divine. I told you last Sunday that the relationship between God and humanity is the relationship of marriage. The bridegroom left everything behind, and he came to us, and he gave his life for us to become one with us. And everything that we do to receive his life, to receive him within us. That's why we come to church on Sunday morning. We don't come to church on Sunday morning to have a personal meditation or a personal prayer. We have personal prayer at home. In church, when we get together to celebrate the liturgy, we forget about ourselves. We become one with the people of God. We become one with the brothers or sisters who are around us. And by becoming one among us, we become one with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Holy Spirit, we become one with God the Father. That's our destination. That's why we come together in the liturgy. The liturgia in Greek means the public work, the common work of the people of God. It is not my work. It is not Chrysostom's work. It is not Tina's work because she's the parish council president. It is not the work of the choir. It is our common work. We don't go to church in the Orthodox Church. In the Orthodox tradition, we don't go to church on Sunday morning to be entertained. We don't go to church to listen to a show and to a lecture. Oh, the priest had a really good sermon today. It felt so good. It's not about that. Oh, the choir was beautiful today. I felt so good. It's not about feeling good myself. It's about exactly the opposite. It is about involving, offering myself. Because he offered himself to me. Now it is my turn to offer myself to him. So that we could become one. There is nothing else he could do. He has done it all. Now it is our turn to open up and to offer ourselves. In the Orthodox tradition, we don't worship God as we please, as we want, with some songs that make us feel good, with a good lecture, intellectual lecture, that makes us, feel smarter. In the Orthodox Church, we worship God as He revealed to us in the Bible that He is worshipped. As He revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus, chapters 20 to 30, basically. As He revealed to us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, that He is worshipped. As He revealed to us, especially in the book of Revelation, that He is worshipped. We don't worship Him as we want, but as He revealed to us that He is worshipped in heaven. Because we are preparing ourselves every Sunday morning, every feast day, when we participate in the Holy Liturgy, we prepare ourselves for the heavenly liturgy that we will participate in, hopefully, forever with our Lord Jesus Christ and the saints. According to the book of Revelation, another, and I want to quote this to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 8. I want to quote this verse to you because so many times, you know, we are accused of having long services. We are accused of having repetition in the service. We are accused of not having any instruments. Your worship is not fun. It's not supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to please myself. It's supposed to help me forget about myself and become one with God. According to the book of Revelation, when St. John the Evangelist had a vision of the heavenly worship, there are no instruments in heaven. What he saw and what he heard, he describes in chapter 4 when he says that the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. You know, this being full of eyes around and within, you know, expresses the watchfulness. And that's how we are called to be in the Holy Liturgy, to be full of eyes around and within. Not to be sleepy, not to be thinking about something else, not to be thinking about the part that we are going to have tomorrow because it's Labor Day, but to think about God, to be watchful, to be here, to be present. And to see God, to see only God, and to declare our love to Him as the four living creatures are unceasingly declaring their love to their Creator. So the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They do not rest, day or night. That's why we have long services. And our services stop at a certain point. In heaven, the Holy Liturgy never ends. And they use repetition. Holy, holy, holy. Guess what? We use repetition. And in fact, you know, this hymn, we have it twice in the Holy Liturgy. We've just sung it once, and we'll sing it one more time a little later. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. I'll stop here with the explanations about the Holy Liturgy, and I'll go now into what I think we could do to implement this heavenly worship into our communion. We'll talk later on about the meaning of the Holy Liturgy. What I really want to offer you today, I don't want to ask you to do this. This is what the Church offers to us. If we don't do it, the Holy Liturgy will be long and boring. If we do this, the Holy Liturgy will be joyful and will be connected with God. I tell you from my own experience, if I don't sing in the liturgy, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. If I'm not active, if I'm not involved, I don't enjoy it, because that's how the liturgy was designed to be. We don't attend the service, we participate in the service. Therefore, I want to offer this to you. I want to give you the joy of heaven. Every Sunday morning, every time we participate in the liturgy, so that we are transposed into heaven, we are energized with the grace of God, and then we take the love and the joy of God into the world. When I came to this parish, we had two holy liturgy books and a few papers for celebrating the liturgy. I wanted to sing along with the choir. I couldn't, because my holy liturgy book, with the prayers, with the specific prayers for the priest, had a different translation than the book used by the choir. So I felt bad about that, because I wanted to learn the melody of the hymns that you are using here, but I couldn't, because I couldn't follow along, because I had a different translation. Then when it was about the creed, we had another paper in the pew. When it was about the Lord's Prayer, another paper. By the grace of God, and I want to thank Chrissy and Carolyn for helping me to put together this book, and also Presbytera and Sophia for helping me to put together this book. So we put together a book that has everything into it, that has the Holy Liturgy, how we celebrate it in our community. If we say something in Greek, it will be in Greek with a Greek translate, with a Latin transliteration, with the Latin phonetics, or the English phonetics. If we say something in Arabic or Romanian or you name it, we'll have it in that language, so that anybody could participate in the service. Please sing along with our choir. Now it is the liturgia, it is the common work. We are called to work together. Now the danger about this congregational singing is that, you know, sometimes, you know, people try to take over. They want to have a show of their own. We are not supposed to have a show of our own. Oh, I have such a good singing voice, I should cover everybody. Because I'm so good. Once again, it is about forgetting about myself and becoming one with the people around me, so that I could become one with Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. So, sing along, participate in the service, offer yourself, so that we have this joy of the common work of the liturgia of God, so that the people who come and join us, they see the joy that we experience here every Sunday, and they will come again to have that joy over and over again, until we experience the eternal joy of the kingdom of heaven. Of course, every time, you know, when you are trying to do something good, the devil is there, and especially when you are trying to bring people closer together and closer to God, the devil, the one who tries to pull apart and to destroy, is there to place some obstacles. I have never thought that I could not find enough folders to make holy liturgy books for, to make 50 holy liturgy books for our community. So I ended up, you know, on Thursday running to all the stores that sell these folders, and I could find altogether only about 30. So for today we'll have only 30 holy liturgy books. I ordered some more, and for next Sunday we'll have some more books. But I thought, you know, maybe there is a reason in that. Because maybe we are supposed to share. Because it is the common work. So we won't have one book for everybody today. I'm sorry about that, and I'm working on that. But today, please share. Now you receive the new Holy Liturgy books. Please use them. Please sing along. Please offer yourself, participate, and experience the joy of the Kingdom of Heaven now and forever. God bless you. Tina and Nick, or
yeah,
Dennis and Nick. Okay.